Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at everything strange and supernatural and the weird and the wonderful. Joining me, Robin, today are Martin.
Hello, as always.
As always.
Indeed.
But not as always, we have a special guest today from All Time Gaming, Steph.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good today.
Doing good. I had the pleasure of your company on your podcast this week.
You did. Robin joined us on a podcast that was recorded not too long ago, and I think it went very well.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it. I had a great time, yeah.
He has huge opinions about Sonic the Hedgehog.
I didn't realize I cared so much.
Yeah, very wound up, went red.
Yeah. No, I think it's actually going to be quite commercially successful. Even though there's a lot of people slating it, but it's always top of trending on Twitter.
There's
Jim Carrey's in it. I think there's a good enough reason to believe that it's actually going to do quite well. Nope. Maybe I'm being optimistic.
I hope it doesn't. But Steph, you've brought a news item today for us to discuss.
I have, yeah. If we'll jump in. A beluga whale was potentially a Russian spy, was found off the coast of a fishing village called Inga, which is in Norway.
Well, that sounds really interesting. So you'll be talking about that. And I'll be talking about another news item involving NASA and meteors. And Martin, in our Patreon exclusive podcast, will be discussing...
I'll be discussing a potential Yeti sighting by the Indian Army.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, big news. I mean, they've been ridiculed for it, but let's have a look at the evidence. Yeah.
So that'll be going out to our Patreon subscribers. And speaking of them, we have a bunch of newcomers
We have 14 new patrons from April alone, which is crazy. So
that
thanks,
mad.
Guys, for signing up. So I just thought I'd give a shout out to these guys just to say thank you. And if you want to sign up and get these Patreon exclusives, like the one we're recording after this episode, you can do so for as little as $1 a month, which is crazy. 4 pieces of content a month. So a massive thank you to the following. Jake Beers, what a name.
Good name.
Beer in your name. That's fantastic. Fernando Soto, Marcus Fleckner, Dahlia, Black Dahlia maybe. Okay. Maybe a reference. Simon Workman, Josh Chomatek, Abe. Manav Naik, Franz Tech, Alex Gaylord, Abu, Samuel Matheson, Derek Bask, and Galgamesh. So thank you, guys.
Galgamesh is supporting us.
Yes.
So
thank you. So that's something. So thank you all very much for your support.
Thank you so much.
It does really mean a lot. And we're getting a bit of traction. We've revamped it recently, and there's lots of new rewards and things. And we've done a whole video on those, so we won't go into them again. But thank you very much. And so that's great.
Have we got any feedback from people explicitly? Like, it's always useful when you send us comments and reviews and whatever.
We do. So we always ask for reviews on Apple Podcasts because it really does help us out in terms of getting our podcast up the rankings. So we have got a couple. So the first one is from Baizai. I think I pronounced that right. Maybe right.
Sounds good. Baizai.
It says, love you guys. We need more podcast content, please. With a prayer sign and a heart.
That's incredibly kind. Thank you.
Nice emojis.
Yeah. No, we did have a brief hiatus last week because it was Easter. We're all away. But the podcast is back. It's not going anywhere. Don't worry. Indeed.
And the next one is from Dan_Slade on IG. It says, hey, I'm 14 years old and find conspiracies very interesting. I recommend talking about the Voynich manuscript.
Hey.
That's a good one. It's written in a unknown language, and sorry, my phone's gone. Let's start the one
that's
again.
Right. I mean, we said Voynich manuscript. Okay.
So. Cool. So this one's from Dan Slade on IG, and it says, hey, I'm 14 years old and find conspiracies very interesting. I recommend talking about the Voynich manuscript.
Hey.
It's written in an unknown language, and it has... and it's all very mysterious. Also, this is one of my favorite podcasts. Keep up the amazing quality.
Oh, wow.
So thank you, Dan.
That's overwhelming. Thank you, Dan. And we have actually made a couple of videos about the Voynich manuscript, or mentioning it at least.
Yeah, we have.
In the past. But definitely a subject worth revisiting in the future.
It's been a few years since we've done it. And it'd be interesting to see if there's any update. I think there may well be, actually. There may well have been a few years ago back. So maybe we could go into that and see what's happened.
Okay, well, maybe I'll do that later. Have a look. But before that, I want to hear more about this beluga whale stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us, what is this?
It was quite a random story, actually. But there was a beluga whale that they're claiming is a potential Russian spy, which turned up off the fishing village coast called Inga, which is in Norway. And it had a harness wrapped around it with equipment of St. Petersburg on it.
Oh, the words.
Equipment from St. Petersburg.
Equipment. Interesting.
That's interesting. Mm.
Which they're claiming that it can't be scientists, that is kind of indicating that it's kind of military.
Right.
Which people are saying the Navy, because it's in the sea.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whale.
So the Navy have a whale.
And on the harness was actually an attachment for a GoPro camera, although the GoPro camera was missing.
Oh,
so interesting.
Yeah, whether they're scouting under the ocean, no one really quite knows yet. The reason that the military... I looked into it a little bit more, and apparently navies from around the world, certain navies train animals.
Yeah.
Mm. So America are very much known for dolphins and sea lions.
Yep.
They use those in the army.
Yeah.
Or the navy. And beluga whales, because they're used in Russia, because of the climate... America have tried beluga whales, but because it's too warm in America, the beluga whales don't train them. Because of the climate in Russia, they very much use beluga whales, and they say because they're very smart and very calm under pressure.
Yeah.
And they used an example of beluga whales and dolphins getting stuck under the ice in cold climates.
Yeah.
A beluga whale would send their sonars off in all directions to get feedback on where there's an air hole. Where a dolphin would just swim in one direction.
I see.
If they fail to find air, then they'll swim all the way back to the other way.
Wow.
So apparently beluga whales are a lot calmer under pressure than other sea life creatures.
That's what you want.
Pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
that's what you want from using the military trained animal.
In the military. The website Live Science said that the whale approached the fishermen's boats hoping to score some fish. Because it's very tame and it wanted feeding.
Yeah. Right,
other sources have actually said that the beluga whale started attacking the boats and sort of started headbutting the hulls.
Really?
So there's no real confirmation
give me some fish.
On.
Give me some fish.
Yeah.
I mean, has it been trained in military tactics and hand-to-hand combat?
I am a torpedo bump. Yeah. I am a torpedo bump.
Scientists got involved and kind of removed the harness. It's thought to have gone AWOL from the Russian Navy.
A whale?
After AWOL. One appeared in Turkey. Quite a while ago, after a storm had ripped a net off the coast of Crimea. That one had shaved teeth. So it could carry larger objects in its mouth. So they're thinking that they're carrying magnetic bombs to then stick to the hull of enemy ships.
Holy crap.
So they're using these beluga whales in big ways.
Or they're testing that out.
Apparently so. Apparently this is what this indicated this teeth shaving was all about.
But oh, man.
What?
There's no real hard evidence around it. But yeah, that's interesting. That's a story that I found very interesting.
Yeah, it reminds me of those, what was it, the cats that they used in World War II? The Americans used cats and didn't end up being that. Cat bombs, wasn't it? And they weren't actually that successful because some of them just ran back to their...
To the owner.
So
I don't understand why military need to involve animals. Mm. It almost seems like one person's doing it, so we must have animals.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, that was a thought running through my mind, is throughout that story you just told us, was Russia's using these beluga whales, but what is America doing in response to this information? Because presumably American intelligence services would know a lot more than we do before it hit the news.
Yeah.
Particularly that scary thing. If they're using the whales to attach mines to ships, then America is almost certainly doing research into using animals.
I mean, is this because usually... I mean, why would they... Two questions. Is this wise, using animals? Like, is the reasoning because they're... quite covert, you just think, oh, that's a whale, you wouldn't necessarily think anything of it, whereas if it was a bit of machinery you might do.
Maybe.
And the other question is, like, why would... Surely it's a risk, isn't it? It's a risk using an animal because there's only so much you can control it.
Yeah, but then it depends how you're defining your risk, because if you're using a human, firstly we're assuming that they value human life greater than animal life,
because
I'm assuming they think the animals are sacrificial. Secondly, if a human goes wrong, they can either turn traitor or they can be captured and pumped for information through various means. So that's a greater security risk, right? Whereas if an animal goes wrong, what's the risk? The animal kills itself. The animal gets captured, doesn't really talk.
Yeah. Talk. Yeah.
Or, I mean, I suppose it might do a cat turn around with the mine and
The other thing is, how much cost is there in training an animal to that extent?
That's a good point, yeah.
Like, I know that heavy machinery, like, it's going to cost a lot, isn't it, to,
yeah,
to have something that can go through the water and attach a mine to a boat, but having trainers to train a beluga whale to that extent surely isn't going to be cheap, is it?
Presumably. Yeah. Also, they have, like, very limited repeat purposes in mind for these animals, because unless they have, like, a million beluga whales, they can't all go around attaching mines to ships in case they blow themselves up.
You'd quickly wipe a species off the planet if they were kamikazing into these boats.
Yeah.
But I think it comes to answer your question, it reminds me very much of something like SeaWorld in Orlando, where the trainers would train the killer whales and the orcas to jump and do tricks and things. How long did they get trained? It can't be that long.
I think it's pretty constant, isn't it? Especially, do you see the documentary Blackfish?
Yes.
See, I never saw it, but I've heard about it. And it's pretty much them having to live in, like, really tight, confined spaces for so long. It's just, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going here. But but it seemed like, they're having to keep these animals in such terrible conditions for so long. And unless you've got infinite resources, it's bound to be quite expensive to keep them.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have infinite resources.
So what's the rationale behind it, I guess, is the question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can't be easy. Like, you've got to have the trainers in the first place.
Yeah.
And you've got to have, presumably there's a limited number of whales that one person can train at one time.
Yeah.
So that limits the number of whales you can have in your fleet. And then, if you're using these whales up, like, two of them already gone AWOL.
Yes.
Well, the one in Turkey was picked up,
yeah,
and then it escaped again, and it was
a liability. Why would you bother? That's what I'm thinking. Why would you bother? Just seems like
all
too
of that effort to go
like
pick
too
up a,
much hassle.
Pick up a whale.
And what's the overall goal here? Like, yes, you can attach mines onto ships. Once people realize that whales are attaching mines onto ships,
they're just going to shoot them before they get
just be
close.
Or just be checking them out, you know, just making sure.
This goes back to what you were saying earlier about like the stealth of animals. You got sonar operators on any ship, and they've got computers that are programmed to filter out animal sounds, so that the only sounds that come through are potentially unnatural sounds. So at the moment, all the technology, to my knowledge, obviously, all military technology is geared towards filtering out natural noises, so that sonar operators hear unnatural noises, which would be identified as for submarines and other ships. So if you're using animals, you could say, if they're just using whales, and once they catch on, they'll start shooting the whales. But you've got to know the whales are there in the first place. And the technology that they're using to detect these things is literally filtering out whales so that they can distinguish them from ships.
Mm.
So it's quite clever for now. Mm. It's classic Russian ingenuity. Every time you discover something the Russians are up to, it's like, respect for the cleverness of what you're doing.
It's very Cold War-esque. It's still that kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Covert, cloak and dagger.
Yeah. And very simple.
Yeah.
A GoPro on a whale.
Yeah. There's definitely a comedic element to this, isn't there? It's like using animals for military operations.
I just...
although it's kind of cruel.
Do the beluga whales think in Russian? That's what I want to know.
Do they speak Russian?
It also said on the same source as well that the US used dolphin sonar to detect things out there as well. So I don't know how they're using dolphin sonar. Whether they're are they using the dolphins to fire out their own sonar or attach electrodes to the dolphin's head to detect other things in the wild? I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know why I got the image of a dolphin in a seat with glasses and those big headphones on, just listening.
Just dolphin, like, just operating sonar.
Yeah, just going. Oh. What's he saying?
It is weird. It is weird. I mean, what do you think the response to this is going to be? Is it truly a threat?
That's what you don't know.
Yeah,
they don't 100% know it's Russian military.
Okay.
They've only got the harness really to go on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Russia aren't.
But it seems likely.
It seems likely it probably would. Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. I mean, like, because if you suddenly make this like a kind of public threat and acknowledge it,
yeah,
it almost seems a bit farcical, doesn't it? Oh, we're afraid of the whales attacking us. It's like, it makes you seem a little bit weak. So it'd be interesting to see what response they actually have.
Yeah, I'd like to know if there's an official government position. American government position, as well as Russian government. It goes back, reminds me of the story we did a video about a couple of years ago about giant squid, and there was a rumor going around that Russia was weaponizing giant squid, which there's very little evidence for.
Yeah.
This is exactly the kind of thing that we know they're doing whales. What else are they doing?
Mm.
What else could they be using? And I don't know. I mean, if a beluga whale comes up to me with a mine in its mouth, I might be scared. But mostly I'd be like, oh, it's a whale. But if a giant squid is coming at me, I'd be like, I'm scared.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? A whale's pretty discreet. A giant squid, you're gonna
see that coming. Yeah. I think from like an animal activist point of view, I think they'll probably see it as very cruel to stick bombs in animals' mouths.
Yeah, well, we should probably mention this because I think this is what you asked at the beginning of the story. Using animals presumably against their will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Except for the Russians and American militaries.
Yeah.
Which is seemingly...
Yeah. But even they do like Steph said, it's just like, well, the other side are doing it, so we've got to do it.
Yeah, it's tit for tat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to
collateral.
Collateral.
Animal collateral. Yeah, no. Shouldn't laugh. It's pretty bad, but...
I'm just glad those two whales made it. They're free, guys. They're free.
Yeah. Where are they?
Probably not.
They're probably in some cell somewhere being...
Yeah, the CIA is interrogating.
Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
That's a bad image.
I'd love to know what was on the camera, or where that camera is, what that was filming with the GoPro.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you talk about the mines, but probably the intelligence of just using the sonar and basically being able to track where boats are, but without having to go too close, is probably more valuable than any kind of weaponizing.
Probably, yeah. And tracking ships' movements.
Exactly,
It's probably way more useful. But it suggests, since they caught the whale, presumably the camera fell off.
Yeah, they said that the camera wasn't there. It was just the kind of stump of the GoPro mount that was left. So whether, I don't know, Russia may have already obtained the camera, because that's the most important thing to them. Just sent the whale off, and we don't need that whale anymore.
So many unanswered questions.
That's the other thing that is risky. Yeah. If some fisherman picks up that whale or kills it, they may well have intelligence on that camera. That's not true. Deciphered.
Yeah.
Possibly, but in its raw form, they could have intelligence.
And was there any sign of any kind of GPS equipment attached to this?
No, not that it said in the stories that I read. It was the harness and the camera.
Do GoPros have GPS built into them or something like that? I'm just wondering, because if this is Russian intelligence, you'd think they'd have contingency plans for if the whale went AWOL or got caught. Yeah. They'd want to be able to know exactly where it was.
Set off the mine in its mouth.
Yeah. Contingency. Boom. So I was just thinking, well, they'd find the fishermen and get the camera off them or something. But how'd they know which fishermen caught it?
Interesting.
Yeah. There's got to be, isn't there?
There's geotagging
now in so many things.
Yeah. There must have. But there's nothing in the news reports to mention that.
Not that I saw.
The whale was tagged. Also, it seems a bit. So either they took the GoPro and let the whale go.
Yeah.
Which seems careless or lacking foresight.
Yeah.
Or the whale escaped after they took the camera off, which again means there's flaws in the system. Or the camera fell off.
Yeah.
In which case, I have two reactions to that, two questions for you. Firstly, does it suggest that it's very early on in their trials?
That's what I was thinking.
They haven't quite got it done. And secondly, bad press for GoPro. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, can't stay on a beluga whale. Yeah, I think very early on makes sense. Because I think if you look at the technology that marine biologists have, even when you watch programs like Blue Planet, David Attenborough's Blue Planet,
and
the quality of the cameras that they've got on there, and scientists who attach GPS, little GPS devices to the back of sharks to watch mating patterns and things like that, to monitor mating patterns, you think that Russia could have something like that. But why would they then use a consumer-grade camera rather than using some professional underwater-grade device?
There is that story, isn't there, which is probably apocryphal, of the space race in the 60s, which is, what is it, America spent a decade and...
the pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Millions of dollars developing a pen that would work in space. The Russians took a pencil, kind of thing. But you're right, the technology we know exists.
Yeah.
The companies, private companies are using it in the West. The Russian government could definitely be using better technology. So that raises a question. Given that property of St. Petersburg or whatever it was printed on that harness, which is a bit of a dumb move for intelligence. Yeah. It's like, belongs to Vladimir Putin. Is this a plant? Is this some kind of, disinformation, misinformation, propaganda thing going on?
Find the whale, they find the GoPro harness at the very least.
Exactly, there's no camera because there never was a camera. It's just to imply that the Russians are up to some dodgy stuff.
Which could be more propaganda piece to make the American public or the Western public think, the Russians are developing new technologies at a faster rate than we
need to get some animals. We're so far behind.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it could be some guy at the CIA who's like, we need to be using animals. I know. I'm going to false flag a Russian whale being caught.
Okay.
And then the government, the US government will be like...
They'll have to act.
Yeah. Donald Trump will be like, they're using whales now? Where are our whales? We have killer whales. We don't need a navy. We've got killer whales.
Kill their whales. Have monopoly over the seas.
But yeah, please let us know what you guys think, dear listeners, either on YouTube with the comments below or by responding to our Twitter, which is at All Time Conspiracies, I think.
At 80 Conspiracies.
At 80 Conspiracies, sorry. Or alltimeconspiriesgmail.com. And speaking of your thoughts, do we have any YouTube comments?
We do. We do indeed.
Our favorite comments. I love reading your comments. They're the best part of every day.
The comments are awesome. Now, this one is from Leash B. And it's in relation to our Patreon video. You know, we announced our new reward tiers.
Oh, we did.
And one of our goals, which we're actually fairly close to, is to make a video from inside the Freemasons Hall. So she says, I've toured the Freemasons Hall in London, and it's beautiful, in capital letters.
Uh-huh.
I love it. We didn't have the chance to go look at things individually in the library, but we got to sit in the hall where usually outsiders, especially women, are not allowed. So I had a little bit of insight there. So
that's incredible.
It does sound like an interesting thing that if we get to that $500 landmark, we will be making a mini doc for you guys from inside the Freemasons Hall.
Tell us more about that experience you had. Please do. Reply to this video on YouTube if you're watching it, or add more to that comment on the Patreon video. I'd like to know more about what she experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. This next one from RHOC21 says, of course a dude uses flip phone to film. Who doesn't have a decent camera on their phone? And this is in relation to our Loch Ness video.
Where it seems
like everyone who's recording anything to do with the Loch Ness monster is recording on a potato.
Yeah.
It's never in 4K, is it?
No. Yeah. It's always really low res. And that was just a couple of years ago, or last year.
Yeah. Yeah, really. So recently,
What camera was he using?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was appalling.
Yeah. Now, the next one is from Injustice Fellow. And they say, these videos are so well made and they come out every week. Been a subscriber for the past 2 to 3 years now. And I must say that your videos never disappoint.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's great to hear and a relief, to be honest, because we work quite hard at these things, trying to get them made into a good quality. And it's nice to know that you guys enjoy them.
Absolutely. And then from our latest video. So this one is from a Chaotic Slav. And they say, that's a derogatory term, right?
Such a good name.
And about the Vodnik one that you did recently, Robin. Uh-huh. And it says, I, Czech folklore getting someone's attention finally. This warmed up my heart, TBH. It's so nice seeing someone outside your culture acknowledging the laws and myths you grew up with.
Oh.
Which is very nice of them to say.
That was a really enjoyable video to make, actually. That was, as you can probably tell from the thumbnail, we really got into that one.
Yeah, it's something that's not... really looked into that much, is it? Because it is Czech, it's not anglicized at all, or American, which are often the two that we tend to cover most because they're more popular.
But. Yeah, and because we can read the language.
That also
helps. To be honest, I really hope that video was up to snuff because I couldn't read a lot of the Czech or the bulk of the Czech articles that were that are written about the Vodnik. So what we found out, I really enjoyed. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll try to. We always try to cover a bit more international stuff.
Yep.
Just difficult to discover stuff that we can actually read about it. So yeah, Glad you enjoyed it. speaking of international things, my news item is about a global threat.
What? A threat to the whole globe.
The whole globe.
All a threat to the world as we know it.
Indeed. It's an age-old threat that we're all aware of, but it's come back around again. Because Jim Bridenstine from NASA spoke or warned about the risks and dangers of a killer asteroid smashing into Earth, because basically we don't have enough protection. We don't have a system in place to protect the Earth from large asteroids such as the one that killed the dinosaurs. Mm. And he was speaking at the Planetary Defense Conference, which I must admit, I'm glad that exists.
Yeah. That is, yeah. What do you do? I'm a planet defender.
I confer about planet defense. Yes. And Bridenstine warned that there's increasing evidence of the potential for asteroid or killer asteroid events happening. And he said in particular, the USA and NASA should be fortifying the planet to preserve life. And he says, we have to make sure that people understand that this is not about Hollywood. It's not about the movies. This is about ultimately protecting the only planet we know right now to host life, and that is the planet Earth. We have to use our systems, our capabilities to ultimately get a lot more data, and we have to do it faster. We know for a fact that the dinosaurs did not have a space program, but we do, and we need to use it.
For a fact.
Yeah. He's got a point.
He has got a point, but Deep Impact was a very good film.
It was
and
a good film.
That is to do with Hollywood.
Yeah.
So just putting that out there.
It's funny because that was, I mean, I've always liked that film. I always thought it was plausible, but basically they're doing that.
Yes.
So they're actually carrying out a test. NASA have just approved a project to knock an asteroid out of orbit by launching a spacecraft into it.
What?
Yeah.
So it would essentially, I suppose, skim the atmosphere of the Earth.
Change its course. It's the project's called Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART.
Nice.
I wonder if they added double just to make it. Yeah.
It's going to be single at first.
aims to throw an asteroid off course in 3 years' time.
Wow.
And I think the probe to hit the asteroid will be launched in December 2020.
It's going to be quite a small asteroid, surely. Don't you think?
Presumably. There's also, I guess, one that isn't heading towards Earth.
Yeah,
just one that they know is coming close enough that they can...
Yeah.
Actually, no, that would be terrible, wouldn't it, if they accidentally
knocked it into Earth. Yeah. That would be awful.
Good point. Maybe it has to head towards Earth just for safety.
Yeah.
To make sure if it's knocked off course.
I mean, what you said at the beginning there was interesting.
Yeah.
You said that there's an increasing risk.
Yes.
Do we know why this is the case?
So, I can't quote figures off the top of my head, but basically they've started using satellite arrays to look for asteroids in more detail, because obviously now globally we have such a massive network of satellites, arrays and satellites around the world in which we can examine space. Previously, until I think about two decades ago, they were always looking at stars and other planets, and obviously the search for life is heating up and they're really looking for planets that could host life. But in recent years, they've started saying, actually, let's look into dark space and try to find asteroids, because we're aware that they might host life, or they might host conditions that resemble Earth's early atmosphere, obviously when the Earth was first forming. So there's loads of research potential in asteroids. And then as a part of that, they've been looking more towards detecting them. And then, of course, that has tied in very neatly with this planetary defense idea of, let's detect asteroids that are coming towards Earth. For example, an asteroid just exploded over Russia quite recently.
It does happen fairly frequently.
Yeah.
But they tend to break up in the atmosphere. So in terms of the fragments of the asteroid, they tend to be fairly small.
Yeah.
The issue is when you get a super, super massive asteroid flying through.
Yeah. I've forgotten the name of the incident, but there was, in Russia, there was that famous incident where it basically was a nuclear explosion in the sky. It didn't hit the Earth. It kind of burned up in the atmosphere and then exploded above the surface, and it flattened miles and miles and miles of forest.
Oh, wow.
But no one was living there, so no one knew it happened until the people hiking, just like, oh, what the heck happened here?
No one heard it?
Well, I don't. I don't know how far away you need to be to hear it. It was in the mountains or something. Yeah. So yeah, when I remember the name of that incident, I'll mention it. So yeah, we've had lots of close calls like that. And so scientists are well aware that all you need is a big enough asteroid that will actually hit the surface to extinguish life on Earth. So to go back to your question.
How do they know that there's an increased risk?
They know there's increasing risk because in recent years they've been looking for asteroids more and more. And they've basically discovered that there are more asteroids on collision course with Earth than they realized.
So their perception of the risk has increased.
More or less. It's not like there's an alien out there throwing asteroids at Earth. There might be, I suppose. We don't know that for sure.
Very Starship Troopers.
We gotta eradicate the bug threat before it hits us. So their perception of the risk has increased because they didn't realize there were so many, of course, big asteroids out there as well heading towards
Earth. But I guess population in terms of population on Earth, we're ever expanding, aren't we? So where people are living has massively increased. So the odds of it hitting civilization has increased over the past 50-100
years. That's a very good point. Population density has increased. So more locations for it to really do damage. So I don't know. Well, what do you guys think? Do you think we can sufficiently protect ourselves from asteroids, or do you think we should have got bigger fish to fry?
I mean, one thing I'd say is, do we necessarily know how much time we have before an asteroid hits the Earth? How far can we track them? Because if we have plenty of time, fine. I mean, by the sounds of this latest research and trying to fly out to this asteroid, of course, it seems like we do have a fair amount of time.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
But in Deep Impact, they only realized pretty much when it was on a collision course, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I guess they
did. There is actually a detection system. I'm going to quote a statistic that I read 3 years ago, so it might have improved since then.
Well done for remembering.
It was something like 15 minutes warning.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
It was tiny.
Before an asteroid would hit?
Yeah.
Before they can detect it?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, dear.
Yeah, absolutely.
World's ending in 15 minutes.
It's like, go down to my bunker, I assume it's better now.
I can't believe they've got nothing. That's the biggest shock, is that there's not the technology already in place.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're having to build this thing from scratch, which is going to take 3 years. Is that have I understood that correctly?
So they're building this thing, this probe, which they'll launch at the end of next year.
Right.
So in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
And then it'll hit it in another year or two after that.
Yeah. Right.
But they obviously don't know which asteroid it is then, yet.
A good question. I don't know. Yeah.
Pick one within a range. Yeah. Yeah. Must move pretty damn fast if it's
able to.
Either that, we're going to litter the outer atmosphere with lots of these. One closest to the asteroid.
Are we going to have a planetary defense system where there's a bunch of probes ready to be launched at any one time?
I suppose the biggest fear is, I initially thought when you were speaking, is launch a missile at it. But then I then thought if that just breaks up, you're just going to have a rain of...
Yeah, good point.
A rain of asteroids rather than just one big chunky one.
Isn't that what happened in Armageddon? They split it in two. Or is that Deep Impact again?
I get confused. No, Deep Impact, one of them hit the Earth.
Yeah.
I just remember the big tidal wave.
That's a smaller one.
It was big and they broke it off. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was what would happen, like you said, when if we launched a missile at it, you'd just break it up. And then,
Love the movie. Haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, it's been a while. In Armageddon, they literally drill nukes into it, don't they?
Yeah. Because one of them has to stay down there, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
The idea.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Spoilers, Steph. Spoilers. Gosh.
Drawing straws. But he's fine at the end, right?
floats back. Yeah.
That's the sequel, yeah.
Interstellar.
Also, the thing I'm thinking is, where are they going to put it?
Well, the asteroid.
Because they're going to want them.
Yeah.
If this window is only 15 minutes, you're going to want to be as close to the asteroid as possible. Yeah. So are these going to be? I don't know, attached to satellites? Are they going to be able to launch them from space? Yeah.
I mean,
presumably.
That's the thing. Yeah, you've got one out there. You're only covering, surely, a certain amount of distance with that in that time frame.
Yeah.
So again, they're surely going to have to scatter.
Yeah, what the hell do you do if, by chance, you get three equally damaging asteroids heading straight towards you?
Be pretty unlikely.
You've got to be prepared, though, right?
Yeah.
You've got to be prepared.
Yeah. Interesting. Where's this budget coming from?
Well, yeah, this is NASA. And I guess something happened because they've been doing some exciting stuff now. Yeah. They've announced the Mars thing and the moon base and now this.
Their budget's increased recently, right, though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But before then, it was cut and cut and cut.
Cut and cut. So, yeah, I think Obama increased it and Trump's maintained it.
Yeah.
I think. Because he wants the Space Force. So I guess they're applying their money very well. I guess. Maybe they've stopped hiring cleaners. Maybe they just...
It's just filthy, but rockets.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting with what's happening with space, sending more and more people up to space.
Yeah.
Especially to Mars.
Yeah.
It comes in waves, right? Everyone's obsessed with a certain part of... Or they get on with it and actually send people into space, and then there's decades and decades where hardly anyone...
That's a sad thought. So for the last wave was the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
Then that means we're not due another wave till 20, 50, 60, something like that. That's quite sad. There's an interesting thought. He did say, this Bridenstine, that he was talking about protecting the only planet that we know to have life on it, which suggests it's part of maybe their Mars thing, their whole, like, let's make sure there are humans to colonize other planets first. You know, let's prioritize making sure we can actually do the colonization rather than taking all the many, many baby steps it takes to actually colonize. Mm. Let's protect ourselves first, which is an interesting take on the situation, I guess.
I mean, with the world's population growing so rapidly, are there any estimates about when we'll need to be looking at elsewhere?
Good question. I'm afraid I don't know.
That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah.
I mean, expect it to be a few hundred years.
You'd hope.
Potentially. But with the weight,
But we're screwing ourselves over, right?
The rate at
which
we're destroying the Earth. Yeah. And
there's loads of arguments towards destroying the climate and things like that. I think that, are we 5 months over our natural resource target or something like that now?
That's bad.
It's something like
Hadn't heard that. That's pretty terrible.
It might not be that long.
Yeah.
But yeah, they estimated that natural resources will end at this date, but we're 5 months prior on target now.
So we're closer to it.
Right.
Something like that.
So the rate at which we're using our natural resources has brought
a lot faster than they thought. So
of course it is.
Yeah. I think as soon as that starts running out, I think that's when the world will start panicking, and I don't think we'll be ready for sort of greenhouse energy, like solar or wind.
All right, green energy,
In a big way,
yeah.
To be able to then sustain them.
Yeah, we should already. I'm not trying to be preachy to anyone listening, but we should already definitely be using green energy around the world because fossil fuels is causing too much damage.
Yeah,
I remember mentioning in a story on the podcast, it must have been a few months back now, that in the UK our percentage of renewable energies outstripped that of non-renewable for the first time ever. Mm.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
But there's still a very, very long way to go. Mm. And also, I think in the most recent studies that they're saying that the UK are leading in Europe in regards to renewable energy, it's actually the figures are a little bit off because it's us kind of subsidizing, isn't it? And what's the word? It doesn't take into account our exports.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So actually, we're further behind than we suggest that we are.
It's also a dangerous thing to say as well, because we already have enough problems with getting any of our politicians to do anything when it comes to saving the planet and therefore the human race. In Britain, this is. And the current bunch of politicians are particularly bad at that. And those kind of statistics just reinforce these lies they tell, which is like, we're doing fine. We're doing a great job. We don't have to do any more. And it's like, no, you need to do a lot more right now.
That's it.
There's also... there's also a fudgy thing. I don't know if this is included in the statistics you just quoted, but like in Britain, we can do this thing where there's lots of green energy companies.
Yes, they offset, don't they?
Yeah, but your energy is actually still gas or oil or coal. It's just that you're paying your money to a green energy company and they're just providing the service. It's really weird.
Yes.
It's like...
isn't it that they... Yeah, it's almost that they offset that amount of carbon.
That's the idea.
But they're actually still using the non-renewable energy resources, but they're offsetting it using the money that you've put in. They're like investing in green energies elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not having any tangible effect right now. So it's a good thing to do. But lots of British people are switching to green energy providers, but not actually switching to green energy. they're basically investing in green energy, but that's not going to take effect for years to come. Whereas we need it now. So it's a good thing to do, though. It's a very good thing to do.
Yeah, and you do see in the UK, you see way more wind farms and solar energy.
Yeah.
You see fields and fields of solar panels, which is great, even though it rains for 350 days of the year.
But thanks to climate change, we're getting more sunshine. So actually, we're going to be fine.
There are loads more solar panels going onto people's houses, on the roofs, where I live. I see more and more go up.
That's good.
So people are, I think, becoming aware, even just to save money. I think they think, oh, we'll save money collecting our own energy.
Yeah.
There's a company, I can't remember what they're called, but they provide you with batteries for your house.
Oh yeah.
And then they give you solar panels and things like that.
That's pretty cool.
And then they subsidize it. They still subsidize it if you run out of your green energy with your natural resources.
Yeah, yeah. You can still use you can still get electric. That.
Yeah. Right, okay. But then you have to pay a premium to use that. So you collect your energy into your battery.
Yeah.
Anything you use, the harmful natural resources to the planet, the harmful stuff, you have to pay a premium on what you use.
Yeah.
Which I think is
and that money goes towards
I have probably the company.
Yeah. No, that's a nice idea because it's a passive way of discouraging people from using fossil fuel energy. Yeah. But I'm just concerned that that premium is just profits for
and chances are it probably is.
Yeah.
It will be profits because they're obviously a business. But also if they're subsidizing the initial output of the batteries, then it'll probably go towards that too.
Yeah.
Assuming they're subsidizing it.
Yeah, I mean that's what you thought. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They provide you all the equipment for your house.
But you pay an upfront cost, right? Or do you? Or
I don't know that less. Much in detail. Okay. Right.
We're going to speculate less.
We endorse this company without knowing anything about it.
You don't know their name, but well done.
But I think the discouragement, as you said, the discouragement from using natural resources is definitely the benefit there.
Yeah.
Because people wouldn't want to spend more money than they need to, so.
Yeah.
Mm. So they don't use it.
Interesting. Slightly off topic from the asteroid, but still about saving our Earth.
It's all about saving the planet, saving the human race. If we deserve to be saved.
That's another question.
Speaking of questions.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
I've got 10 questions and a bonus question for you. But I need to hear your buzzers first. Robin? The classic Wilhelm scream.
Oldie but a goodie.
Very good. And Steph? It's a bell.
Ooh.
Traditional.
That's a very nice sounding bell. I like that.
Ooh. Very clean.
Very clean.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, question numero uno.
Oh.
Until this week,
yeah,
a 94-year-old British granny refused to do what?
Yeah.
In response to her husband being badly treated by Mussolini's Italian forces as a prisoner of war in World War II.
Oh. Is it going to be something... Is it going to be something random like stop recycling and not recycle her glass?
No, I'd love it. it's almost as ridiculous, but it's related to Italian forces. There's your clue.
Related to
Italian.
I was going to say... No, I'm wrong. I was going to say complain.
No, but it's more specifically to do with something Italian.
Eat spaghetti.
Eat pizza.
Yes. Well done, Steph. She refused to eat pizza following this.
Oh, good for
her. Until 2 weeks ago when she had of all things, an abominable Hawaiian pizza, ham and pineapple.
Oh,
disgusting! I mean, why would you return to pizza eating with that? Yeah. Anyway, she had that and said she loved it, and she wondered why she had stopped eating pizza for so long.
Of course, she did. Pizza's over great.
Hawaiian yeah. pizza. Yeah.
So, oh man!
I bet she picked off the pineapple.
She should have done.
Apparently she gobbled the whole thing. Loved it.
Wow. That's her first pizza.
I mean, yeah. That's a protest.
She's in for a treat.
She's got so much to discover. Yeah,
a lot of catching up.
Amazing.
To do.
Yeah,
but don't boycott pizza. I mean, this doesn't affect the Italian economy.
No,
it was
that's
probably
true,
made.
Actually,
yeah, probably made in like, Swansea or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, our pizza is not the same as Italian pizza.
No.
So it's like, also what are you protesting?
Yeah. Yeah. Weird one. Oh. Right? Anyway, well done, Steph. Well done. Good. 1-0. Number two. In what year, closest wins, what year did the video game event Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, begin?
Ooh. Bet I'm really wrong, but 2005.
Okay.
No, I'm going to say 1981.
2005.
No, 1980. Let's go later, 1990, because I'm thinking of the older 1990? Consoles. Yeah,
okay,
1990. It's
1995. Ooh.
So, Steph, you are closer.
About a decade out.
Yes.
Nice.
Very good. 2-0. Well done.
Well done, Steph.
Okay. Robin, bit of catching up to do.
Yeah, I've got pressure's on.
Question 3. What country would you be in if you asked for a beer by saying, Pivo Prosim?
I'm wrong. Is it Croatia?
No.
Very
close. Pivo.
Pivo.
Pivo Prosim. It's very. I'm probably saying that very anglicised, but
yeah, I'm trying to think of an accent in my head. See,
annoyingly, I know both those words.
The country.
I've been there.
Have a guess, and then I'll give a clue.
I'm going to say Argentina.
No. Okay, clue. We've mentioned this country today already in the podcast.
Oh.
Oh.
Russia?
No.
Oh. Norway?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, we've mentioned it in passing.
Oh, right.
Ooh.
It's not Russia or Norway.
No. Do you want one more guess? It's in Europe.
What? Thanks.
Clue.
Well, where else have we mentioned today?
Ooh. Russia?
Yeah. Mm.
In Europe. In Europe? Norway?
It's mentioned in passing.
Oh, Italy?
No.
Oh, good one. But yeah. Where have we talked about? Genuinely. Kind of struggling to remember. Talked about asteroids?
Yeah, the asteroids.
Go through from the beginning. It's been taking minutes.
Czech Republic.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Czech Republic.
Of course.
Comment, yeah.
See, I have been there. That's why I recognised it. Yeah.
You go to Prague.
Yeah, I've been to Prague. Very nice city. You've been, haven't you?
I haven't been to Prague.
I recommend it.
It's one of the places, one of the kind of Eastern European places I haven't been to.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Fine.
But I do want to go. It's meant to be great. Okay. 2-1 to Steph. Question number 4. A trailer for the new Sonic movie dropped this week. But what was the song playing in the background of the trailer? I think Robin was just first.
Thank you, Gangster's Paradise.
It was.
Yeah.
It was Gangster's Paradise.
Weird choice.
Yeah, it was odd.
It was original as well, wasn't it? Just the whole thing, start to finish.
Yeah.
Original song.
Yeah.
No remix.
Yeah, I'm confused. What audience are they going for? I'm really confused.
Yeah, because you think if they go for the kids,
they'd go for
something, something a little bit more upbeat, like a One Direction song.
Yeah.
They're going for two audiences, aren't they?
Similar.
Yeah.
They're going for like old Sega players.
The nostalgia.
Who are now probably like, I played Sega, it was my first console, but like kind of early to mid-30s, do you reckon? Maybe 40?
Yeah.
Like kind of late 80s, early 90s. No, well, it was Sonic out, 91, something like that?
Sega
91
Mega
was the first one, wasn't it?
91, 92,
So like kind of, mid-30s. Gangster's Paradise is that thing? Maybe.
I mean, it kind of fits in, but it really doesn't.
And then kind
time.
Of funny for like kids.
But that's the thing, like they're going for both audiences. Sorry, we already ranted about this on the gaming podcast. But it's like the adults who want the nostalgia, and this is not the nostalgia they want.
No.
This is not at all what they want. And the kids are not going to get that nostalgia because, and even this Sonic, it's not appeal. It's not new in a good way.
Yeah, but he makes jokes.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Question number 5. Okay, so this one... how are we going to do this? Okay, so if, if you guys buzz in and give one answer, because there's three potential answers.
Okay.
Just give one
multiple
answer
choice.
Each. Yep. Oh, nice. And you get a point for each answer you get correct. Okay. No, it's not multiple choice. It's just... it'll make sense.
Okay,
so question number 5 to all. Name the top 3 social media sites by number of users.
Ooh.
So you can one each, so one.
Okay, so I'll say Facebook.
That's number one. Okay. 2.2 billion people will use Facebook as of January this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Instagram.
Instagram is not on the list.
Ooh,
still
one. I would have said that too. Twitter?
No.
Oh. What are the kids down with these days? Actually, I don't know. What?
Unless you're... Are you talking things like WhatsApp? Would you
Boom,
class
number
that?
3. WhatsApp.
Which one Facebook WhatsApp. Owns. That's pretty... Yeah.
WhatsApp's number 3. Well done. 1.5 billion.
Can I say Reddit?
No, Reddit's not... You can, but it's wrong. There's one more.
Facebook, WhatsApp.
Let me know if you like a clue.
I mean, I've had a guess, so I think Steph should guess.
Is it well known? Is it
it's well known.
A worldwide.
Yeah.
Snapchat.
Bloody hell! Come on, guys.
What am I?
What are we
Facebook,
missing?
Clue.
Facebook, Twitter.
That's your clue. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. Really?
I'm really struggling.
YouTube.
Oh. Oh,
man.
Oh. Snapchat. Reddit.
Okay. Well, you see, that's not social media. That is life.
It's a social platform.
Oh.
Damn.
1.9 billion.
Really?
But that's funny because you don't. When you say social media,
it's like video. It's video, but it counts as
a social media.
People are commenting all the time.
I understand why it was missed.
You'd never make friends on YouTube, though, would you?
No.
I'd make friends on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't.
No, I'm joking.
You didn't have any friends.
Not lifelong friends, anyway. No. more enemies. So that was 2-1. So it's now
point.
5.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, 5-4.
No, 4-3.
4-3, I would say.
Yeah.
It's 4-3. Cool. Number 6. Whew. According to greeneats.com, eating 1 kilogram of chicken is the equivalent of driving 16 miles.
Right.
In a car.
Yeah.
What is the number of miles driven for 1 kilogram of lamb?
16 for turkey.
16 miles for chicken.
Chicken, sorry.
A kilo. What's 1 kilo of lamb according to greeneats.com?
50.
I'm going to go with 40 then.
91.
Oh.
That's a lot, right?
That is lots. Yeah.
91 miles for a kilo of lamb. I mean, you're not going to eat a whole kilo yourself, are you? But
I mean, I have.
There we go. A whole lamb.
Yeah, I just eat a lamb. That's all I eat. Just every day, slaughter a new one.
That's pretty crazy, though. 91 miles.
That is a lot. Lamb. That is a lot. Yeah. So what's a cow? That's like 10 times the size of a lamb.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well done. So that's 4-all.
Question. Does that count? I said 50. It was 91.
It's closer. You were closest. Win.
Okay, I'll take that. But yeah.
You know how this works, Robin.
Yeah, I do.
There's been plenty of times where something ridiculous has been said. A lot more ridiculous than 40
That's
miles.
That's true, yeah.
Question number 7. What two things make up rose gold?
Tin and brass.
No.
What is rose gold?
It's like a reddish gold.
It's going to be gold.
Right, okay.
Gold is one.
Damn it.
And it's... Is it another metal? As a clue.
Presumably.
Tin. Gold
no,
and
it's
tin.
Not tin. No, it is gold and copper. Copper gives it the reddish colour.
That was my next guess.
Wow, sorry.
Martin.
So it's still 4-all.
Yeah.
Question 8. It was the Queen's birthday in April. How old is she now?
Ooh. I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm going to say 94. She's not that old.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah, she's not that old.
I am going to go with 89.
That's also wrong.
Oh.
She's 93.
Oh,
very close.
I was
very close.
A lot closer than I thought.
Still 4-all. Coming
Wait a second.
The it wasn't close as first. This is very, very
that
arbitrary.
Was, that was
very. Definitely make up the rules as we go along. question nine. 50 miles is fine.
But 1 year off. And I'm out.
No, wrong.
It's the Queen,
wrong.
Robin. The Queen. Queen. Respect her. Okay.
Would you tell her she's 94? No.
That's true. You don't look a day over 94.
I'm 93, you little shit.
Oh, question number nine. Which card in a regular pack of cards is known as the death card?
Oh, Queen of Spades?
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
Oh. Any ideas there?
Ace of Spades.
It's the Ace of Spades.
Damn it.
The Ace of Spades.
Yeah, that, I was literally going through the lyrics of my head in my head.
5-4 with one
question left. Can I do it?
This one is the closest.
Okay.
Question 10. In the song Roxanne by the band The Police.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you. How many times is the name Roxanne mentioned?
Ooh. Oh, no, that's going to be really hard to count because there's a whole bit at the end where they're just like,
Roxette.
I'm going to go with 32.
Oh, I was literally going to say
really,
that.
Really, huh?
All right, I'm going to go with 35.
It's 27.
Oh!
Hey! So we go on to the tiebreak. It's 5-all, tiebreaker question. So it all comes down to this. You ready?
Yeah.
Fingers on buzzers.
Fingers on the buzzers.
Tiebreaker. For every 100 girls born in the world, how many boys are born?
Ooh. Well, that was Steph.
80.
80, okay.
I mean, that's pretty good. I'm going to say 90.
It is 107.
So,
Robin, you are closest.
No.
Wow. I don't.
More boys.
There are more boys born
in the world than girls. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and they die younger too.
Is that why there's always more women? I thought it was always like slightly more than 50% of the world.
I don't know if it's why.
Yeah.
But yeah, for every 100 girls, 107 boys born in the world.
That's really.
Boys die earlier.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's very surprising because.
Lonely dead boys.
Given that you have to have. Given that the mothers always guarantee an X chromosome.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there's so many Ys out there.
Yeah. Huh. Why?
Why?
Yeah, fairly good.
Why? Well, I don't feel like I really deserve that, but...
Very close quiz.
It was a close one. It was a very close one. Well done, Steph.
Well done.
That was
good.
Got tense. I definitely was on the ropes for a moment or two. So yeah, thank you for that quiz, Martin. That was really good. And thank you for the news item, Steph.
No problem at all.
Really interesting. And thank you for joining us. It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been good.
Happy to come back in future.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be back.
That is the correct answer.
And I don't know when your gaming podcast with Robin on it's coming out.
Yep.
But for anyone out there, go over and check out All Time Gaming because they have their very own podcast, which is also Apple Podcasts and everywhere. And yeah, it's audio, isn't it?
Yes.
Audio primarily. And it's on the YouTube channel too.
And it's on the YouTube channel.
So you can catch it in either of those places.
Yeah.
And just go and check out the channel too because if you haven't seen it already, I'm sure you guys have.
Yep.
But it is awesome if you're a video game fan or if you're not. Yeah.
So it is a really, really great channel. Always happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Happy to watch your videos too. As always, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for all of your support all these years. And welcome to our new ones that Martin read out at the beginning of the video. And if you enjoyed this podcast, then please check out our other podcasts as well as our YouTube channel. And thank you for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
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 Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.